Hello and welcome to the Deadbeat Guitarist Mugcast. I am your host, Steve Bear, Deadbeat Guitarist at Large. It's been a good chunk of time. A lot of crazy things have happened. I've moved to a smaller town, enjoying smaller town life. And many other things. So in any event, let's go into the topics we discuss, which are beer, music, and Linux. I'm going to start with Linux this time around. I did a blog post about my experience. I wanted to try running Debian stable and see whether I could settle down there. I feel like I've been looking for something, a change of operating system, and I wanted to use something that sort of encouraged me to tinker less. I have a bad habit of tinkering a lot and not getting a whole lot done sometimes, so I wanted to sort of limit that. Well, it didn't work out exactly the way I planned. I blogged about this, and what I ended up doing is I jumped from Debian stable up to Debian testing. So, but I think I had some pretty, okay reasoning. I liked Debian stable, but funny enough, it wasn't as stable as I expected. It was, I guess stable sort of means more predictable. You don't see as many kernel updates, so the hope was that I didn't have to reapply my drivers for my Wi-Fi after a kernel upgrades and whatnot. So, but so there were less sort of updates in those regards for software, more just sort of patches. But the applications are pretty old and not always stable. They're frozen in the state that they were in. And for instance, the VLC version that was installed with Debian stable had this bug where when you would load up the Icecast listings, it would crash. It just crashed completely out of VLC, gone. So my sort of thought is stable doesn't necessarily mean stable, it means predictable. And so what I ended up doing was I was kind of not super happy with the older versions of the software. And I was pretty confident that this Icecast VLC issue would be resolved in newer software. So I jumped up to Debian testing by modifying my apt-sources.list file in /etc/apt/sources.list. I opened that up and I switched all of those stable references to testing, saved it, and did a apt-get space /dist/upgrade, and off I went. Much happier on Debian testing. Really enjoying it. The software is up to date enough as I would like it. It's on the 3.0 something rather kernel, so that's very up to date. Just a word on installing Debian from an SD card. If you follow the instructions for, I believe it's catting that image to your SD card for making the Debian ISO onto an SD card for installation, you might want to note that if you experience what I experienced, which was after the install, my SD cards were not mounting properly because it figured that that was the ISO 9000 CD-ROM file system, and therefore I had to go into my /etc/fstab file and just comment out that reference to the CD-ROM, which was actually my /dev/sdb, whatever it was, which is my SD card. So you may encounter that if you install from SD cards, so might want to look at that. Other than that, I'm really happy on Debian testing. I'm enjoying GNOME and XFCE and LXDE, which is interesting because I'm sort of been a KDE fellow in the past, but I'm quite comfortable in those other environments and enjoying it. So, also want to talk about WordPress. I really like WordPress. It makes it easy for someone like me to post content and get it out there. Recently, they migrated some of their stats and other nice features into one plugin pack called Jetpack, which you can get off of their you can find it when you search the plugins for just search Jetpack and you'll find it. Some of the nice things about that are there are short codes for embedding your YouTube content or SoundCloud or Flickr or Scribe, those types of services. You can embed those into your page or post quite easily with just a short code bracket kind of YouTube link bracket kind of thing. So that's really handy. Another nice feature of the Jetpack suite is Share Daddy, which allows you to add a button on a page or post, which will allow you to share it via, well, whoever's reading it, to share it via Facebook, email, Twitter, Reddit, and Dig, etc. I was surprised to not see Google Plus there, but maybe that's coming, not sure. Other features would include in this Jetpack plugin, a URL shortener, grammar checking, stats, Twitter widget, LaTeX markup for mathematics, etc. Image pop-ups like business cards when hovering over a contributor's gravatar. So lots of goodies in that Jetpack plugin for WordPress fans. Next, I wanted to talk about, I was at work and was feeling really, why is it that I'm, you know, the Windows machine that I work on really just, I wish it was a Linux machine, but due to the nature of the work that I do at the company that I work at, it would be very awkward, and I've tried many times to either run Windows in a virtual machine or this kind of thing, and I always come back to the fact that it's just very awkward. So I need to have Windows on that work machine. But I found a way to significantly increase my comfort level and make it a little bit more like a Linux machine with the following three tools. So if you do a search for GNU Win32, you can grab all the great GNU tools, tar, diff, etc., all of these things. It installs the whole lot, the whole GNU tools. Get GNU Win32, I think it could be, or something. So that's really great. And I have my backups going with tar, etc. So it's really nice to have these tools, things that I use often on my Linux machine and find myself frustrated that I don't have on Windows. So this is great. Another thing that I miss when I'm on a Windows machine is the Well, let me roll back for a second here. You could install Cygwin, but Cygwin, I prefer to install these tools native to the operating system. I've tried Cygwin, and you'll see why maybe when I mention the next tool, why I'm not really all that in need of Cygwin. One of the things I miss is a proper terminal emulator, such as Console or GNOME Terminal or XFTerm, something that's a nice console terminal window that you can pretty up with transparency and tabs. And on a whim, I just Googled this to find out if this existed for Windows, and sure enough, I found it. It's a project called the Console Project, with a C, Console, not KDE. And you install that, and it's Console 2, I think, at this point in time. It creates a folder called Console 2 after you extract this. And then what you do is you add it to your path. You go search up your environment variables in Windows, and you find the path statement, the system variable for path. If you're on something like Windows 7, you can just hit the the start button, type environment space variable and click that, and then click the environment variable button. Just make sure that you add the console folder to the path by just clicking to the end of that path reference in system, and then adding a semicolon, and then C:\console, for instance, is what I did. That's where I put it for me. And okay your way out of there, restart, and when you run the shortcut to the console application, the exe, you get this a very nice console window, much like something similar to something you have under Linux. And then you can go into the preferences there and you can pretty it up with transparency and stuff. Just a quick reminder of two items that might help you be comfortable right away. Pressing Control F1 is going to create a tab in the console window, and Control 1, Control 2, Control 3, etc., a number or whatever, will actually switch between those tabs. So that's cool. So now you're rocking pretty good. You got a nice terminal emulator. You've got the GNU tools. It's almost feeling right. Well, what's missing? Multiple desktops, you bet. That is one of the things that I always find myself frustrated. I hit control left arrow or control right arrow, and I want to switch to a different desktop, and it doesn't work under Windows, and it's frustrating. So my friend Kevin at work, he actually heard of this project a while ago, and I can't believe he didn't mention it to me earlier, but kudos to him for reminding me about this now, letting me know about this now. Virtua Win, V-I-R-T-U-A Win. Google that one up. And it does the same thing. When you run that, you go to the preferences and you set up how you want it to work, whether you want it to be like in KDE, where it has like the four window switchers on top of each other in a square, or whether you want it to be all one layer four from left to right kind of thing. But you switch between them in the same way, Control Alt and then left arrow or right arrow or up or down. And if you want to send a window, the active window, to another workspace, you would hit Alt Window Key and then whatever arrow key you want to, you know, whichever desktop you want to send it to, and there it goes. So that is fantastic. So those are three tools that make me much more comfortable on a Windows machine. And hopefully you check them out, you like them, and that makes you comfortable on a Windows machine as well, if you have to endure that situation, which many of us working in IT do. And then that few small percentage of you that don't, lucky you. But for the rest of us, these are some cool tools. So let's head into the music section. I don't know how I stumbled upon this guy, but he does funny metal covers. He mashes up, he's like a mashup artist, where he'll take the vocal line from some current pop song or some old metal song or something, and then he'll totally build around it, just a whole band around it with drums and bass and guitars. And he'll either do a jazz thing, or he'll do a metal thing, or he'll do something interesting every time, and it always ends up being fairly comical. For instance, he does Justin Bieber's Baby, and you know, he gives that like a heavy metal treatment with the vocals the same, and he'll play the video, and it's you got this kind of out of context rock guitar stuff with this boy band dancing. It's very funny. Other ones that he does is you've got the ultimate Rickroll in Never Gonna Give You Up, which is also like a Kill Switch Engage kind of treatment there. It's pretty cool. And you've got Katy Perry's California Girls, AC/DC's Back in Black, the funk version, Megadeth's Symphony of Destruction reggae version. He's a very talented fellow, and he makes me laugh. His name is Andy Refelt. That's R-E-H-F-E-L-D-T. So if you search him up on YouTube, you'll find him. Or if you search, I think if you search Back in Black funky version or something, funk version, you'll probably find him that way too. So good stuff. And that rolls us into the final thing we're going to talk about today, which is the beer section. And today I have a surprise. I have Dougie Dog Butterscotch Root Beer. And this came from my general store just across the way. And I gather there's a hot dog joint in Vancouver that a lot of people hit after they've been clubbing. And these people ended up inventing this amazing root beer recipe. And so somehow this ended up out in my smaller town's grocery store, general store, just a few steps away from our place. So let us crack it open and see what we're dealing with. It's a twist off, so it's not going to be as dramatic. There we go. Give it a pour. All right. You can really catch the butterscotch when you give that a sniff there. Very nice. Not overly carbonated. It's got the right amount of sweetness, a nice root beer flavor, with, of course, a nice hint of butterscotch. I'm going to give it one more swig before we call it a night or a day. Or a lunch, whatever's happening in your area at the time you hear it. If you happen to bump into this in your travels, I think you'll like it. It's good. Good root beer. I think, you know what? I think if it was a little more carbonated, I'd like it. A little more kick, a little more zip. But it's quite nice as is. So with that, I'm going to end things off. Cheers. And we'll catch you next time.